Now we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 23. Book of Genesis, and we'll read the whole chapter. Chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord, you are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron the son of Sohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of his city. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, But if you will hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, My lord, listen to me, a piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of the city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The people and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. And then we'll also turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 13. This is written just after speaking about Abraham and Sarah. And then he says in verse 13, in Hebrews 11, These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. Now this is a lovely little chapter in this lovely book of Genesis. It's interesting that two or three commentators, they completely skip over this chapter. You read and they comment on in great length on chapter, you know, chapter 22, and then they go straight to chapter 24 as if chapter 23 wasn't even there. Now, it's not, I suppose, a chapter which is as rich in depth and doctrine and typology as perhaps chapter 22, the offering of Isaac, or chapter 24, finding a bride for Isaac. But it's a lovely chapter, and on the face of it, I suppose we might sort of think there isn't an awful lot there, but as we scratch a little bit, as we dig a little bit deeper, hopefully we'll just see some lessons for us in this chapter. I suppose it's quite a sad chapter. It's speaking about the death of Sarah, and yet it's also a chapter of hope, as we'll see in a minute. So, and I would just like to speak about sort of three areas. So we're going to speak about Abraham's sorrow, and Abraham's faith, and Abraham's honesty, or Abraham's reputation among the people of the land. So the chapter begins with these words: Sarah died, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died at Kiriath Arba. Sarah is the only woman. This is maybe a question for a Bible quiz sometime. Sarah is the only woman in the Bible where we have the age given to us. The Bible tells she lived for 127 years. A great age, but it would appear that she might have died suddenly, because Abraham maybe wasn't there. It says that after she had died, that Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah. So perhaps she died suddenly. We don't know, and I suppose there's no point speculating, but it would seem that Abraham went in after she had died, as if he wasn't there when she passed away. Hebrews 11, as we read, verse 13, tells us that she died in faith. She died in faith. She died believing in God. She died seeking a homeland, desiring a better country, a heavenly one. And I think, and I'm sure that you would agree with me, that Sarah was a woman of faith. Perhaps we think about chapter 16, is it, when Sarah persuaded Abraham to have a child with Hagar, and perhaps that stands out in our mind. But Sarah is commended in the New Testament for her faith and for her obedience. So here was a woman who died in faith. And it says that Abraham, in verse 2, he went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And here's a very simple point. But I think a very valid point to make, that people of faith, they sorrow and they weep. Abraham did, Isaac did, David did, and Jesus did. People wept. People of faith, they mourned and they wept. Sometimes we perhaps say to ourselves, I need to be strong. But we need to remember that there's nothing wrong in sorrowing. There's nothing wrong in being sad. Abraham mourned. And sometimes that grief, when we mourn a lost one, takes time. And we shouldn't feel bad, you know, about sort of moving on, not being able to move on straight after sadness. If we read at the end of chapter 24, it says about Isaac, then Isaac brought her into, that's Rebekah, brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It took a while for Isaac to be comforted after his mother's death. And so also in our experience, grief takes time also for the people of faith. It's lovely how we see Abraham and Sarah so close together, and you can see that the closeness and the oneness that they had. And I think in many ways the marriage of Abraham and Sarah was a great example. It wasn't without fault. You remember that twice Abraham, he lied, or I suppose at best he told a half-truth when he said that Sarah was his sister. In chapter 12 and in chapter 20, he was wanting to protect himself, and he said that Sarah was his sister. And I'm sure that would have hurt Sarah. And then we think about chapter 16, when Sarah persuaded Abraham to shortcut God's plan, so to speak, and to have a son with his servant, concubine. And Sarah and Abraham, they made mistakes, they failed, and they sinned against each other. But it's also clear that they forgave each other. And they were faithful and loyal to each other. And that is exactly what Peter brings up before us, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 3, he speaks about Sarah as an example to follow. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So Sarah is brought before us as an example, or particularly for Christian women, to follow, an example to follow. And so a great example of a husband and a wife who loved each other, who forgave each other, and Abraham was sad when his wife died, and he cried, he wept. So that is Abraham's sorrow in verses 1 and 2. And then the rest of the chapter, it deals with this purchase of land. The only land that Abraham could call his in the land of Canaan. This land which became his possession. And so we have this transaction, and it's described for us. And I just want to bring two things out from here. And the first one is Abraham's faith. So I think that in the face of personal tragedy, in the face of the loss of his wife, Abraham displayed great faith. And it's very tempting for us, when we go through personal tragedy, that we give up. And here we have an example of a person who faced great personal tragedy, and in that personal tragedy, in the face of that, he showed faith. We read in Hebrews 11, it mentioned that they would have had opportunity to return. Speaking about Abraham and Sarah, they would have had an opportunity to return. And here was an opportunity for Abraham to return. Abraham was called out of Mesopotamia, from Paddan Aram, from Ur and the Chaldeans. He was called out of there. And all his family was there, as we are reminded of at the end of the previous chapter. The family. And Abraham had an opportunity here to return. I think that, and perhaps the writer of the Hebrews is alluding to chapter 23 of Genesis. You know, Abraham had an opportunity to prepare the body of his wife, pack his bags, and go back home, back to where he came from. But instead, he decides to buy land and to bury his wife there. And I think that that is a show of his faith, because he believed in the promise of God that this would be the land that God was going to give to Abraham and to his offspring. And by buying a piece of land there, Abraham, in a sense, renounced Paddan Aram, where he came from, and he embraced the promises of God. And he did that by buying this land. So Abraham, by buying this a possession for himself, he wanted to bury his wife there. And I think where you get buried is very much in the place that you feel is home. Now, I am saying it, this is not a common sort of theme of conversation at home, I should say, but I did ask her, you know, if she died, where would she want to be buried? She said in the cemetery in Muckle Row, because that's where she sees as home. Abraham buried his wife in Canaan, in the promised land, because they believed that this was the place that God had given them. And so Abraham showed faith, and he trusted in God. And so we have the Abraham's faith in these verses. And then we come to this transaction that happens, and he goes to the Hittites, and we see this quite an interesting account of what happens. He goes to the Hittites, and he would like a cave. He's not asking for a field. He's asking for the cave of Machpelah, and that is what he wanted. But they give him a field, and so he goes to the Hittites, to the sons of Heth, who are living in the land. And if you read in verse 10, it would seem that they were gathered at the city gate. That is the place of local government. It seems to be in and that is the case, as you read in other Old Testament accounts, for example in the book of Ruth, that the local government was at the city gate. And so they were at the city gate, and he goes to the Hittites and he asks them to entreat Ephron, who seems to be the leader of the Hittites, and who was there. It was in his hearing that this all happened, and he asked them to entreat for him to give him this cave. And then we see in verse 11, and I think just through this we see an example of Abraham's honesty, Abraham's uprightness, and Abraham's reputation in the land. Notice how they say in verse 6, "Hear us, my Lord, you are a prince of God among us." They noticed that Abraham was different. They noticed that he was a mighty man, a man of God. So we have here, we see how Abraham was so highly regarded amongst the people that he lived with. And I just think that that's a challenge for us as well. When people see us, when people deal with us, either as neighbours or in the workplace, in business, do they see us as a people of God? That's how they looked at Abraham. You are a prince of God among us. He was highly regarded. Highly regarded for his honesty and for his dealings. And the way he deals with them is very honest and very upright, and it's all above board. No backhanders. There's no dirty tricks. There's there's no attempts of Abraham to squeeze this piece of land out of them for next to nothing. You know, he's being extremely upright, extremely honest. And I think this is just my last point tonight. We see the honesty of Abraham. And so Ephron, he says to Abraham in verse 11, "No, my Lord, hear me. I give you this field, and I give you this field, not just a cave. I give you this field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead." Now, at the face of it, this seems very generous. You know, he says, "I'll give it to you." But any commentators would tell you that, you know, this was just, I suppose, typical Bedouin negotiation tactics. Now, when he said, "I give you this field," he didn't say necessarily, "I'm going to give you this for free, I'm going to give you this for nothing." So he is simply expressing a willingness to do a deal with Abraham. He's not being particularly and overly generous. And that's, I think that's how we should see that. And then Abraham, he says, in verse 13, I give the price of this field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead. And Abraham is basically saying, I'm willing to pay you the valuation. I'm willing to give you a fair price for this. And then Ephron, in a very sort of a clever way, in a very non-confrontational way, he gives Abraham an offer. He says, my lord, listen to me, a piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Again, sounding quite generous, but really saying, I'll give you this land if you give me 400 shekels. I suppose that's really what he's sort of saying here. And again, most commentators would say that this was a very high price to pay for this land. 400 shekels of silver. So we notice here, by the way, that it was the weight of silver that the currency was weight of silver, and that again sort of shows us, I suppose, the timeline. So in those days, the currency was weight of silver, and Abraham listened to Ephron, it says in verse 16, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. And so the field of Ephron in Machpelah became the property of Abraham. It became Abraham's possession in the presence of all the Hittites. And Abraham buried his wife in the cave, in verse 19, in the land of Canaan. This also became the grave site for Abraham himself. Read at that in verse 9 in chapter 25. And it also became, I think we read of this in Genesis 20:49, it became the burial place for Isaac and Rebekah and for Jacob and Leah. The cave of Machpelah to the east of Mamre. And in this transaction, and not just in this transaction, but also in the tragedy that Abraham suffered, we see Abraham's faith. He trusted in God. God had promised him the land, and he bought a piece of it, trusting in God. And Abraham showed great honesty as well in his dealing with his people in the land. And just some simple but yet challenging lessons for us tonight about how we react to tragedy in our life. You know, tragedy, Abraham had an opportunity to return. But Abraham saw it as an opportunity to express his faith. And that is really the choice that we have as we face times of testing or times of tragedy. It's either an opportunity to pack our bags and go, or it's an opportunity to express our faith. You know, we've thought about various different tragedies that some people are going through just now. And we will all go through tragedies at times in our lives. And really, it is an opportunity for us to have faith in God. And in all of this, and in our dealings with people around us, to show uprightness and an honesty, as Abraham did, as he bought this field to bury his wife. May God bless this word to us, shall we pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for our time together. We thank you that even in this chapter, which seems quite matter of fact, we learn lessons from your word. And Father, we do pray that you will help us as we face tragedy and trials to show faith. We thank you for Abraham. We thank you for Sarah and their life, these patriarchs who died in faith, and they were looking for a better land. And Father, we just pray that we might also be characterized with this faith, that we live not for the now, for the here and now, but we look forward to the future that you have promised all of us, all who trust in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you will help us to show faith. Help us also amongst our colleagues and in business and in wherever we are, Father, to be blameless amongst our people, and that people will see that we are different, as they looked, as the Hittites looked upon Abraham. So, Father, we just bring these things before you. We thank you for your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.